The following podcast contains explicit language.
Hey guys, I just got an email. They want to do a pre-call before the call.
Who's on the pre-call?
Oh, the same people that are on the conference call.
It's all the same people on the pre-call and the call?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner of 18 years, Liz.
That's me, Liz Craft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
Today, we're going to talk about why it's important to have volunteers, not recruits. We'll also discuss the importance of timing.
They do say timing is everything.
It is.
Finally, we've got a Hollywood hack that some might call old-fashioned, even downright quaint.
But first, in episode 39, we talked about Robert Evans' advice on how to make it, which was basically focus on success, not on failure. Learn from your successes, not from your failures.
Yeah, and everyone's been loving that advice, and we've gotten a ton of feedback on it. So thank you, listeners, for your thoughts on studying success. I think everyone agrees that's good advice.
Yeah.
And then we came upon some equally fascinating and insightful advice on how to succeed from Jeff Bezos, the Amazon CEO.
Who is rather successful.
Yes.
So his advice is, one, surround yourself with the right people. Two, have a learn-it-all mindset. Three, be ready to play the long game.
Yeah, this is amazing advice. And there's a reason why he's the head of the biggest company in the world.
Yeah.
I think it's the biggest company. If not, it will be.
Yeah.
And it's really true. I mean, surround yourself with the right people. We talk about that all the time,
yeah.
Even for something like a writer's group. We tell people, if you're going to have a writer's group, have it with people who are ambitious, serious, and hopefully good writers.
Yes. And then have a learn-it-all mindset. I actually read this one time as have a beginner's mindset, which is equally fascinating. Like, approach things from a new angle. Approach things as if you don't know everything. So you're really open and learning.
This is great advice for us right now, Sarah, because
yeah.
We are making our pilot, as we have, you know, we'll be discussing time and again on this podcast. And learning it all is a great mindset for doing a pilot. Like, anything we can learn about props and lighting and, you know, not just focusing on the writing, but all aspects of production.
Yeah.
The more we know, the better.
Absolutely. And then be ready to play the long game.
Well, that's certainly true in Hollywood.
Oh, my God. I mean, we talk about in our intro the war of attrition that
yes.
is life in Los Angeles. It's like, and we tell people when they first come here, be prepared to be here for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years before you get into the career you want to be in.
Yeah. I mean, it's like nothing is worth it if it's just you think you're going to come in and out in 6 months and have something great happen. I mean, you've got to be willing to stick it out, to build, to wait for things to come together. I mean, in terms of playing the long game, it's like we might take a meeting with someone and then 5 years later, they have a project that they remember us for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just have to know that, like, there's a reason things come back around and just
yeah.
be prepared to wait.
Yeah. So thank you to Jeff Bezos for more insights on how to succeed. And when we come back, we're going to discuss our volunteers, not recruits philosophy. But first, an ad break.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/Hollywood. That's StoryWorth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, Sarah, it's time for From the Treadmill Desk Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches this week. And this week, it's volunteers, not recruits. This is something we've been thinking about a lot as we staff and cast our pilot.
Yes. Getting a pilot up and running is so stressful, and we desperately want to get the best people possible.
But only if they want to be there.
Right.
And this is a lesson we learned. A friend of ours actually taught us this lesson.
Who shall remain nameless.
Who shall remain nameless, yes. But this person had a pilot that then went to series,
yeah.
Okay, which is the biggest deal in the world. And for this pilot, he wanted a big actor, as one does. And there was an actor who was circling it, was maybe going to do it. And our friend sort of went to lunch with this actor and begged.
He did like the hard press.
The real big sell. Do it, do it, do it. Really, you know, did everything in his power to convince this actor to do it. And reluctantly, the actor agreed.
Yes.
And
it was, of course, a nightmare.
Yes.
Because really, the actor didn't want to do it, really didn't want to be there. They didn't have the kind of connection that you want in a mm-hmm. successful working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard on everyone and ultimately, I think, led to sort of the end of the show.
Yeah, because he really didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And so it was a hard thing to hear about from our friend. But anyway, the silver lining of this was he said he realized after that experience that for the rest of his career, he was going to have a philosophy of volunteers, not recruits. He was never going to beg anyone again to do anything on his show, whether it be an actor, a director, a line producer, a costumer. It's like, if they don't want to be there, you don't want them.
And I still remember when we talked about this with him, we were like sitting at an outdoor table at a restaurant. And he said, from now on, volunteers, not recruits. And it was like a lightning bolt down from the sky. It absolutely has affected every single decision we have made since that moment.
Yeah. Even in like hiring an assistant, for instance, we're like, if this person doesn't really want the job, don't do it.
No matter how amazing the resume.
Yes, we want somebody who wants to be doing what we're doing. We want someone who's going to have passion for the project, because if they don't, it's going to show up in the work.
Exactly. And just this knowledge and this approach has made our whole pilot process up to this point and forevermore less anxiety producing, because we just remind ourselves, if someone doesn't want to be there, no matter how amazing they are, that's okay. Let them go. Like, if you make an offer to an actor and you think, oh my God, this is the best person in the entire history of the world, and then they pass, it's okay.
Yes. They weren't meant to be there.
Yeah.
But by the way, Sarah, this reminds me of romance. It's like when you're dating, you want to volunteer, not a recruit. It's like if you're like having to call someone and text them and try to get them interested in you, it's not going to happen. It's not worth it. Or even if it does happen, who wants somebody you had to like recruit?
Yeah, who's
to
like
be
lukewarm.
With you? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And with friendship. I mean, it's like literally anything you're trying to get someone to do. If you want someone to join the board for your nonprofit, like you want someone who's passionate about your nonprofit. Or if you want someone to take care of your kid after school, you want someone who's like, yes, I totally want that job. I love hanging with kids. Not
absolutely.
Like, oh, all right, I'll show up and take some money.
Yeah. I mean, people do better work. They're better participants, and they take more care when they're doing something they want to be doing.
Just a better attitude all around for everybody.
Yeah. And this goes for us, too. I want to be a volunteer, not a recruit.
Yes. Oh, my God. You know, we never think of it that way, but that's so important. Yeah.
And we should remember, if we're doing something, to act like a volunteer and not a recruit.
Well, or to not do something if we feel like we have to be recruited to do
it. That is very
I think we've gotten better at that. We've learned over time how to tell the difference.
Well, and we're lucky now in our career where we have a lot more choice.
Yeah.
So we kind of get to do the things we want to do now.
Yeah.
So.
Thank God.
Yes.
So this is something that we'll be remembering in May if we're lucky enough for this pilot to go to series and we're staffing.
Mm.
We need to remember because we have been those people who are like, you're going to do it right. Come right on our show.
We have begged writers.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
No.
Our friend Corrine, for one.
Oh, I know.
Always beg.
We're always begging her. So no more. Corrine, if you don't want to do this show, you don't have to. Yeah. We're declaring now.
Luckily, I will say, Sarah, she wanted to do the last thing we asked her to do. So she was a volunteer.
That's true. And that was fun.
That was fun. Next up, we discuss how timing is everything. But first, a word from our sponsor.
So, Liz, now it's time for Take a Hike, in which we talk about mental, physical, or spiritual health. And today, it's mental health. We're going to talk about timing. Timing is everything.
So they say.
Yes. And this came up for me because, you know, we've been talking about like the whole giving up sugar for a year, and a lot of people are doing that for 2018. It's one of their 18 for 2018
yes.
things, or just in general, like a health challenge they want to tackle. And it made me think, I could not have done this 5 years ago.
Because you just weren't sort of mentally evolved enough, or what?
Just everyone is at a different place in their life, in their sort of health journey, and things that they want to or are capable of tackling.
Mm.
And like 10 years ago, if I tried to give up sugar, I would have failed and I would have hated myself and it would have really spiraled in a hideous way. Now, it's the perfect thing for me to be doing. I haven't had sugar, you know, since New Year's Eve 2017. And it's great. And it's not even that hard. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are just things that you can do at the right time. And you can't be hard on yourself if it's not the right time for you.
Yeah, no, Sarah, I always think about timing with, like, exercise.
Yeah.
Because I always think, as much as I'm dreading the day that Jack goes to college, it will mean that I'm suddenly able to go to a 7:30 p.m. yoga class again. I used to go to exercise classes at night all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, since having Jack, there's no way I'm going to take 2 hours out of my 2 hours with him
right.
to go to yoga. But that time will come.
Right.
And I will do that again.
That's right. I think about that actually with Violet going to kindergarten, because you're an evening exerciser. I'm a morning exerciser. No way to do that. Like,
right.
I tried Pilates classes at the end of the day. It's not my thing. I want to go in the morning. Right now, I drop Violet off at school at 8:45. It's too late to go to a class
right.
at that point. When she starts kindergarten, 7:30, she's dropped off. I can hit an 8 o'clock class and then go to work. So everything is about just waiting for your life to give you those opportunities
yes.
to do the things you need to do.
Yeah. And of course, it's not just like practical timing like we're talking about. There's also cosmic timing.
Yeah.
Like there is something where the universe seems to come in and take care of you
yeah.
with timing. Not
yeah.
you, but the general you.
Well, often me.
Often. Well, and that we are experiencing right now with our pilot.
Yeah.
Because our pilot is shooting in Los Angeles, which
right.
I don't know if we've talked about this, but it's very unusual. Most pilots shoot out of Los Angeles. They shoot in Vancouver, New York, Atlanta, Budapest, London. I mean, anywhere but L.A.
But L.A.
And we are so lucky because our pilot is shooting here, and there does seem to be a cosmic thing happening.
Yes. So for me, my mom right now she has Alzheimer's, as everyone knows if you listen to this podcast. And she's declining really rapidly.
Yeah.
And if we were in Budapest, I'd be flying home.
Yeah.
If we were in New York, I'd be flying my ass back here. So having right now the timing of doing a pilot in Los Angeles, which is super, super rare, it really does affect like everything in my life. It does feel like, okay, the universe is going to take care of you in this moment so that you can do all of the things that you need to do.
Yes, because it would have been really tough
yeah.
to be in the middle of doing this and then suddenly get on a plane for 15 hours and come back. And then would you just stay? Would you
yeah.
come back? And the situation is also as these health situations often are, very murky.
Yes.
So it's hard to make decisions. This way you don't have to make a decision.
Right. And also when we do pilots, I take Violet. So
yes.
Violet could be in New York, for example, and I'd be like, okay, I'm leaving you in New York to go back
yes.
home. It would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
So there are times when the universe is looking out for you.
So thank you, Cosmic Timing, for looking out for Sarah this spring.
Yes.
Was there ever a situation in your life when timing was everything? We want to hear about it. Email us at happierinhollywood@gmail.com or send us a voice memo. We love hearing your voices. And now, Sarah, it's time for this week's Hollywood hack. Get a library card. I have to admit, I haven't had one in ages.
And I have one, but I never use it. Never.
We were talking about this because a few weeks ago, we discussed how you're an overbuyer and I'm something of an underbuyer. And you were saying that you buy a ton of books off Amazon.
Yes, it's like a compulsion.
And a lot of our listeners wrote in and said, Sarah, go to the library.
Yes. Then I won't have stacks of books that I haven't read all over my house. Because libraries, they're not just about books. You can get books, magazines, DVDs, CDs, download audiobooks, ebooks, music. You can use the library's computers and internet. You can connect to wireless internet at your county libraries. Like,
this
libraries.
Is not your mama's library.
Exactly.
Libraries have come a long way.
They're a resource that we should all be using.
Yeah. I mean, this idea that you can digitally download something from the library, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it's funny because going to the library is such a huge part of childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack goes to the library, and it's also a big part of college, going to the library. But since college, I mean, I never go.
Never.
And I love thinking about the smell of a
yeah.
library. Like, the smell of the Kansas City Library when we were young was so particular. I can just conjure it in my mind.
The one on the plaza?
Yes.
Yes. I
with
used to
fountain.
Walk there. Yeah, I used to walk there with my grandmother. It's like the best memory.
Yeah. And then also, I would go in North Platte, Nebraska when I visited my grandparents to the library there. And I still remember the smell of the library there. I wish that I could bottle it, and that would be my signature scent. You know, we're talking about our
yes.
signature scents.
Oh, that would be great.
I don't know if other people would enjoy that scent, but I would.
So get thee to a library. And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. Email us or send us a voice memo at happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already. And while you're at it, tell a friend.
Thank you to our producer, Jennifer Lai. Also, thanks to Kristen Meinzer and Andy Bowers of Panoply. Thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at sfain, and Liz is at lizcraft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it. Whoa, what was that?
Sorry. Okay? There was just a weird light flash
yeah.
here.
We're like, okay. Nuclear winter.
There's a button.
Yeah.